Well, today is a special day for us here at Sunrise. It's a big day, which is why there's probably some people here that Kevin hadn't met yet. So make sure he shakes your hand after services. But it is, and we're excited. We're grateful that you are here, and we are excited for the day. Today we are commissioning our new shepherds here at Sunrise, and we are sending our teachers and our students onto another school year. So towards the end of the service today, things may look a little different, but that's all right. Go with it and be blessed. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we're going to get in the Word. Our Father in heaven, because of what you have done for us, we are followers of Jesus. And Father, today as we put our new shepherds in place, we ask that you bless their work. And as our teachers get ready for their school year, we ask that you bless their work. And as our students get ready for a new school year, we ask that you bless their lives, their faith, and their strength. Father, we are grateful for all of our families together today. We are grateful to be able to break bread with one another. And Father, we pray that our hearts will always be soft to the gospel message. We pray, Lord, that we never forget that you came to redeem us, that you brought us close. So give us hearts and minds that are always looking outside of ourselves to bring others close. Father, help us as we study your word this morning and encourage us for our journey of faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I really wanted to just bless our teachers and our students. And I was thinking about everything that our teachers will face this coming year, and all the challenges that they will go through, and all the different lives that they will be able to impact and bless. And I was thinking about our students, our kids that we're sending off to school this week, or studying with their homeschool teacher this week. We've got a lot of those as well. And I just thought about the new school year and all of the challenges that that presents. Not just the stuff that you're going to learn, but just dealing with other people. Being put in difficult situations and not always knowing what's the right thing to do. And not always having the strength to do the right thing. And so, as I was going this last week, I was really thinking about, we do this in our work, we do this in our school, we do this in our faith, that we tend to judge success by the absence of problems or obstacles in our life. That's how we tend to judge success. I mean, that's how we judge, how are you doing? We think about it for a minute. Okay, nothing's falling apart. Nothing's on fire. Yeah, I guess I'm doing good. This is my favorite one. I have to remind people, because I'm hearing this one a lot. Whenever I ask people, how are you doing? You know how they answer me? With location. Yeah, they answer me with GPS coordinates. Yeah, I'm here. I didn't ask where you were. I said, how are you? I know where you are. We're having this conversation. Right? And so we tend to focus and define the success of our life and how our life is going with the absence of trouble, right? If things would just slow down, if things would just smooth out, if my kids wouldn't have any issues, or if work would just give me one day, right? Just give me one easy day. If everything could just be, don't even say normal, but that's what we wish for. And I was thinking this last week that most of our lives, most of our journey with Jesus, most of our faith is going through ups and downs and overcoming obstacles and all those normal, easy days we plan for ourselves and all the things that God just allows to come into our lives and we get to deal with this and we get to deal with that. And so often we're just let me be protected as I get through it and then just get back home. And I think sometimes we miss God trying to get our attention. We're disciples of Jesus. We are followers of our Lord and Savior. So we are walking in His steps. And so it should not surprise us as those who bear the light of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. It should not surprise us when people are drawn to us. How many times was Jesus going about His own business and someone asked for Him to help? Come help a family member. Come to our town. Come to our house. Or just touched His jacket. So it should not surprise us that in walking in the steps of Jesus, that our days are filled with opportunities to serve. And another thing about following Jesus is we mess it up. I was walking through the halls this last week of my school, and I was walking down a hall, and it's not my hall, so it's not a hall that I'm used to, and I'm walking down the hall, and I guess I just caught it in my peripheral vision. It literally stopped me in my tracks. You ever have those times? I mean, I was like half step, whoop. I stopped and I looked at the wall, and they had, I'm sure. If you've ever been around school, you know, Cricut and fancy letters. And so they had just put something on the wall. I hadn't seen it yet. I hadn't seen it. And I saw this on the wall and it said, you only fail when you stop trying. You only fail when you stop trying. And that hit me because, you know, as a child raised with high expectations, both at school and at the ballpark and at church, you know, I was raised to believe I failed whenever I got out of line or I misstepped or it was a B+ instead of an A. Our definition of failure is a lot different than God's, isn't it? It absolutely is. And so this morning, I want to encourage you with God's definition of failure and success. God's definition of success is perseverance. God's definition of success is hold on and don't give up. Because you're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. You make mistakes, and we have somehow convinced ourselves that God is no better than our parents or our teachers or our coaches who were always, I was convicted. I was watching a show this week, and this adult son's trying to figure out his relationship with his dad. And this adult son was a football player back in school. He was really good. And he told his dad, he said, hey dad, you remember that time when I won that championship? And, I threw for five touchdowns that night. And you were waiting for me in the parking lot. And I got out there after changing and getting all my pads cleaned up. And the only thing you said to me was, what happened on that interception you threw? He won the state championship. He threw five touchdowns. And the first thing out of his dad's mouth was, what about that interception? What about that mistake? I mean, that twisted the knife in my heart. Because, you know, I remember the time my boys brought home their first B on a report card. I didn't praise them for six A's. I said, what happened with this curve letter? What is that? Straight lines in this house. Three of them. One, two, three. You're bringing me home curves. What is this? Yeah. They didn't go for that. They just brought home a B. Church, I'm afraid that we look at our Heavenly Father and we think He's looking at us like that. We think He's looking, because we know when we mess up. We know when we fall short. We know when we didn't get it right. And we just think we hear Him saying, well, it was mostly a good day, but that one conversation I had, I did not speak right to that person. I did not think right about that person. It was a messed up day. I want us to take a look this morning. Let's open up our Bible to Matthew chapter 27. Because just like us, Jesus' original followers, His apostles, His disciples, they had a lot of ups and downs in their faith too. They had a lot of great days and they had a lot of could have been better days. But I want us to see the important lesson for all of us as we are trying to live lives of faith. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to start in verse 3. Here's the bad news. Woo-hoo. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is this to us? See to it yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money. So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price has been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Here is a follower of Jesus. His name was Judas. And we know him by, verse 3, his betrayer. We know him by his worst day. We know him by his worst day. But isn't it amazing that after he had done it, because he goes to the chief priest and says, look, I'm on the end. If you'll pay me, I'll set him up for you and you can do what you want with him. And after they went through all of that, what happens to Judas's heart? He repents, doesn't he? He changed his mind. He was sorry for his actions. He felt bad. He said, what I did was wrong. And he went back and he tried to fix it. He tried to fix it and he took back the money to them. And they said, well, we can't have this in here. This is blood money. Yeah, they paid him. They made it blood money. They said, we don't want that in here. And so he goes and he throws it on the floor. He says, just take it. I don't want it. He tries to say, I'm sorry. He tries to turn around and fix things. And how does Judas's story end? He went out, he felt so bad, and he could not get restitution. He could not get forgiveness, and he ended his life. That is an awful shame. That's a horrible, horrible ending. And if you've never been there, you may have a hard time going, how could anything get so bad that you would just want to end it all? But at whatever age you are, if you've ever gone through difficulties where you've actually said, it'd just be better if I wasn't here. I'm going to encourage you this morning, because it's always better when you're here. You see, Judas, The hardest part about Judas is not that he made a mistake. It's not that he betrayed Jesus. Is it because he quit? He couldn't do anything else in God's kingdom. Now I want to take you to another story. Go over to John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, verse 24. Here we get another follower of Jesus. John 20, 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Look, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." And again, we call Thomas the doubter. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." See, again, we call Thomas the doubter, but if you go back at the end of Matthew's gospel, at the very end of Matthew's gospel, when Jesus appears resurrected to all of his disciples, you know what it says? They marveled, but some doubted. Thomas wasn't the only doubter. He wasn't the only doubter. Look, you're going to have times in your life where you're going to doubt yourself. You're going to have times in your teaching this year where you're going to doubt your profession. And I'm not just talking about you homeschooling teachers either. You're going to have times this year where you're going to just say, "What am I doing? What am I doing?" You're going to have times if you're a student this year that you just look around and go, what is going on? I can't do this work. I can't handle this pressure. I can't be successful. Jesus says, don't doubt, just believe. Just believe. Jesus gave Thomas what he needed. He said, "Thomas, you need to see." And to be fair, everybody else had seen. He gave Thomas what he needed. He said, "Here, take a look. In fact, touch it. Touch it." And guess what Thomas got to do? He got to continue to be part of the 11 as we read further as the church begins in the book of Acts. He still got to be a part. He still got to be a follower of Jesus. Let's turn over another chapter. We're back in John 21. Back in John 21. Another follower of Jesus. Before the rooster crowed on the night that Jesus was betrayed, what did Peter do 3 times? He denied. "I don't know him." 3 times. "Hey, you're one of those Jesus followers, aren't you?" Kids, I won't even ask you to raise your hand, but there's probably been a time at school, or there may be a time at school, where some kid's going to make fun of you and said, "What, you go to church? You believe in that Jesus stuff? No, huh? Because your mama's not standing right beside you. You can get away with it. No, huh? Let's just keep on doing bad things. Don't worry about me. I'm cool." 3 times. Peter said, "Look, Lord, I know that you needed 12 of us, but let's be honest, these other 11, eh. But me, I'm super." 3 times he says, "I don't know Jesus." Now, what did Peter do after Jesus was killed? What are we told in the scripture that he did? He went back fishing. He stopped being a follower. He said, "Well, I guess that didn't work. I failed. I gave up." But you know what he didn't do? He didn't do what Judas did. Peter didn't give up on himself. He gave up on his direction. He thought, "Well, I can't do this." But we see here in John chapter 21. Look at verse 15. John 21:15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself, walk wherever you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. There are going to be times in your life where you have denied Jesus and you think there is no way Jesus can do anything good with me. I messed up. I let him down. I was tested in my faith and I gave in with the crowd. God can't do anything with me. There's no point in following Jesus anymore. I mean, yeah, I'll still go to church with mom and dad, but it won't be real. Because I'm feeling so bad inside. I want every one of you to hear exactly what Jesus said to Peter. Peter, you follow me. I don't expect you to be perfect. I expect you to follow me. And that is a message for every single one of us. Because God sent Jesus to do the one thing that you and I cannot do as followers of Jesus. Be perfect. That's why he died on the cross for our sins. Because he is perfect. God wants you to be faithful. And sometimes you're going to fall. And sometimes you're going to let him down. And some days are just going to be bad. I'm sorry, Lord. You know I love you. I didn't mean it. And he's going to look at you and he's going to say, you keep on following me. Right after the gospel message at the beginning of Acts and at Pentecost, in the beginning of the church, who got to preach the big sermon when the Holy Spirit shows up? Peter! After his failure, Jesus says, I am not done with you. Whatever grade you're going into this year, God is not done with you. However many years you've taught, God is not done with you. Wherever you are in your faith, God is not done with you. So don't let go of him. Don't let go of him. He still has people in your life that he needs you to minister to serve. So don't give up just because you've made some mistakes. We'll continue on in John chapter 21, verse 20. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, and one who also had leaned back against him during the supper, said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said, If it is my will that he remains until I come, what's that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brother that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but if it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things. And we know that his testimony is true. So these are the words of John. And John, just like the rest of them, did what when Jesus was being crucified? When Jesus was being arrested, he bailed. He bailed. He left him. He left him in his darkest moment. And yet, whose book did we just read? John's gospel. John got to write a book of the Bible. He got to record the story of Jesus. He was one of Jesus' closest three. He was on the inner circle, but he still, when it got really difficult, he ran. And Jesus said, don't worry about what he's going to do. I got plans for him. I got plans for him. Church, it doesn't matter what you have done. God has plans for you. God has plans for you. You can be used in his kingdom. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. He can use you. I mean, we're not even getting into Paul. And you know that story. Doesn't matter where you come from. Jesus says, follow me. And it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. And for some of us that have been Jesus followers for a long time, some of the greatest faith it takes is just trusting the fact that it is Christ's perfection that makes me okay. It's His perfection. We're all trying to be holy. We're all trying to be righteous because we know that that's the best way to live. But it's His perfection that makes us acceptable. That's the good news. That's the good news. Jerry read for us from James chapter 1. And I want to go back and take a look at it. I'm not going to reread it, but I want you to see something. Verse 3. You know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be complete, lacking in nothing. And verse 12. Happy is the man who remains steadfast under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Our faith is going to be tested this year. Your faith is going to be tested this year. Teachers, your faith is going to be tested this week. Students, your faith is going to be tested pretty soon thereafter. Be steadfast. This word, it means endure. Endurance. Don't quit. Don't give up. You are a follower of Jesus. You're a follower of the King. Don't give up. Don't give up. When you mess up, come back to Him. When you fall short, get back on track. When you're discouraged, take it to Him. Don't go back for the fishing boat. Don't walk away from Him. Go right to Him. Because when you go to Him, He restores. When you go away from Him, bad things happen. Judas went away from Jesus. Bad things happen. Thomas went to Jesus. Good things happen. Remember, you're a follower of Jesus. And doesn't mean perfect. But don't give up on doing the right thing. Because God has work for you to do. So, this morning I'd like to do something. I would like for all of our teachers to come and join me. Please. All of our teachers, even our visiting teachers. You laugh like I'm joking. That's not the joke. That's not the joke. Teachers, come up here. Come up here. Join us. Join us. We have a lot of teachers. I want the church to see this. I want the church to see this. They're clapping. I'm not clapping, but. All right. And professors. Doesn't matter what level you teach, Mark. Church, keep these people in your prayers. All right. Our teachers are on the front line. The front line of the spiritual battle. It's not about curriculum anymore. It's about followers of Jesus willing to shine their light in a very dark place. So keep them in your prayers. Keep them in your prayers because they have an awesome opportunity to reach people who are open. So, if you would, I'd like us to pray for our teachers and their school year right now. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, these people that are here today, they have a special opportunity to change lives. And I pray that you bless them in this work. I pray that you encourage them and strengthen them when the days get difficult. I pray that you remind them of their purpose. I pray, Lord, when they make mistakes, when they mess up, when they fall down, that you pick them back up and restore them. Father, bless these teachers. Their work is great, and it has a wonderful impact on your eternal kingdom. We thank you for what they do. We are grateful that they're all here with us, and we ask that you bless them with an amazing year and with faith to follow you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, teachers. Students, come on up. I know. Students, I promise you, your parents were more embarrassed. All right. Students. Here's our students. And as difficult a job as our teachers have, our students, let me get this out of the way. Our students are trying to figure life out, trying to grow and learn and figure out who they are and figure out their faith and what it means to be a part of God's kingdom. And they are doing so on the front lines of a very dark world that we find ourselves in. And the enemy is using a lot of different directions and a lot of different things to attack them. And so today, I want you to put these faces in your mind and in your heart. And I want you to lift them up this year. I want you to pray for them, for their safety, for their faith. They're going to learn. They're going to do okay on their tests and their grades. But we want them to come home safe. And we want them to shine the light of Jesus. We want them to know at whatever age and whatever level they're at that their faith means something big. And they don't have to wait to grow up to be a part of God's kingdom. So, everybody else, we'll level the playing field. Let's all stand together and let's pray for our students. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all of our students. And we ask your blessings upon their lives in a new school year. Father, we ask that you guide their steps. We ask that you bless them with strength and with faith and with hope. And Father, we pray that when they mess up, that you remind them that you still love them. And we pray, Father, that when they fail the test, or they're just not feeling as good as they should, that you remind their hearts that you love them and that you're going to give them a new day tomorrow to try again. Father, we ask your blessings upon our students. I pray that you keep them all safe in their schools. I pray that you protect them from physical harm, from outside enemies, from bullies, from anyone who would try to bring destruction. And I pray, Father, that you guard their hearts. I pray, Lord, that the lessons that they learn from the church and from their parents and from their grandparents and everybody who loves them, I pray that these lessons will be powerful in their lives. I pray, Lord, that when the enemy tries to whisper in their ear, that they will do the right thing. That they will remember that they are precious in your sight. Thank you for our kids, Father. Guide their steps. Protect their hearts. And just give them another day so that they can continue to live and serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now you guys can go sit down. Thank you. All right, so we're going to stand together and sing, and we offer this invitation And if you need it, respond to the invitation. If you need to become a Christian today, we're going to help you and do that. And if you are a Christian today, keep following Jesus. Just remember that your failures do not define you. Your faith defines you. Your faith defines you. And if you're one of our students and you're not a Christian yet, but you know, you've thought about it or you're thinking about it or you think maybe one day, whatever you go through, Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. Don't give up. Don't let go. You keep on following Him because He loves you. He's there with you. He cares about you. And the only way that we lose is if we quit. Don't quit. Jesus has promised to come back for all of us. Don't quit. Don't quit. Because what we're waiting for is too great. Don't let go of it.